More legal action has been announced relating to the Flint water crisis, this time involving Governor Rick Snyder. Southfield attorney and former Michigan Democratic Party chairman Mark Brewer announced yesterday he's representing a Flint family in an action against the governor. Brewer and his clients allege the governor's breaking the law by paying his legal fees with public revenue. Carrie Weber says lead in her family's water triggered a series of serious health problems in her family. The complaint asks Ingham County judges to appoint a one-person grand jury to consider the charges. Now, a Snyder spokesperson has said the use of taxpayer dollars is legal, in part because the charges involve his role as a publicly elected official. To learn more, we welcome attorney Mark Brewer and Flint resident Carrie Weber. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good to have you with us. Mark Brewer, share a little background with us here, please. How did this case take shape exactly?
Well, last February, with several investigations of him looming, the governor personally solicited and signed a contract to provide at least $800,000, now up to $2 million, to pay a law firm to provide legal defense in these criminal investigations. He bypassed all of the legal requirements, the Attorney General, the State Administrative Board, which normally govern the acquisition of goods and services for state government. And on top of that, he violated a provision of the state constitution which says public officials cannot engage in conflicts of interest. Well, I can't think of a clearer conflict of interest than the governor himself signing a contract which provides for his own personal legal defense. So that's the basis for our request of the Ingham County Circuit Court to convene a one-person grand jury and get to the bottom of what we think are clear violations of state law.
Carrie Weber, your family's been through a number of serious health challenges, allegedly due to the lead in Flint water. Would you take a minute and please talk to us about some of them?
Yes, I can. Our daughter, Victoria, who is now 16, was first found in 2015 at the University of Michigan Ann Arbor Hospital to have actually lead deposits in her bones. And at that point, we did not know of lead in water. A lot of research was done to find out how that had happened to her in a three-month time span. My husband, in August, suffered an eye stroke and lost half of his vision initially in his right eye, has regained. He's down to a third loss now, and that will remain that way.
And that's as a result of lead in the water?
Yes. It's caused in him uncontrollably high blood pressure. His heart has been checked and cleared repeatedly. There's nothing with his cardiac system, no corroded arteries, nothing like that.
Okay.
Right now he's on four different types of blood pressure pills, eight pills a day. And they've got him down to about 140 over 110. That's the best we've gotten. And in adults, we found out, the CDC confirmed, Dr. Eden Wells confirmed, the number one result in adults that are lead poisoned is uncontrollably high blood pressure. His lead levels were checked, and sure enough, we found plenty of lead to cause the problem.
There's a number of other health issues you've got going on here. Have physicians said that all of these health problems are a result of lead in the water?
The lead lines with Victoria are clearly from her drinking the lead water. There's no doubt on that. They've done lead. We've all been lead tested. We are all positive. And Victoria and Michael were our heavier water drinkers, and they're actually suffering physical effects right now. Stephanie and I are asymptomatic. But the CDC and the top of the state and Dr. Eden Wells have said that is for now for her and I.
Mark
Brewer. Go ahead.
Let me turn to Mark Brewer real briefly here. You allege that the governor sidestepped procurement procedures in this $2 million contract with Warner Norcross, the Grand Rapids legal firm working for him. What didn't he do that he should have done? Was there a process that he could have followed properly?
Yes. I mean, state law is very clear that the attorney general has the responsibility of representing all state employees. So the attorney general was bypassed here. There's also an entity called the State Administrative Board which consists of a number of elected and appointed officials, that is supposed to, under state law, approve all contracts for goods and services. Snyder bypassed them. He basically told that board, oh, by the way, I've signed this $800,000 contract to provide for my criminal legal defense. But he never sought or got their approval. And again, that violates state law on top of this prohibition against conflicts of interest. Those are the allegations in our complaint that we would like this grand jury to look into.
And you say that this resulted in spending taxpayer money without proper authorization. Was there a process that would have enabled him to have received public money that would not have triggered a lawsuit?
Either of those two processes that I just described would have solved this problem. Now, that still doesn't get to the fundamental question of whether the governor should be using taxpayer money at all to defend himself. I mean, that's really outraged people all over the state that he has taken responsibility for what has happened in Flint, and now he's turning around and asking the people of the state and the people of Flint to pay his legal bills. What he should have done is set up a private legal defense fund, collected contributions, including from himself. All of that is disclosed. It's very transparent. It's what other elected officials like Corser and Gambrat have done in similar situations. That's what he should have done here, and that would have avoided all of these questions.
Attorney Mark Brewer joins us along with his client, Flint resident Carrie Weber. We're talking about the case that Mark Brewer has brought involving Governor Rick Snyder. They allege the governor's breaking the law by paying his legal fees with public revenue and that he ignored procedures that he should have followed. Now, the governor's office justifies these funds for his defense, in part at least, because the legal actions against him involve his role as a publicly elected official, so that they claim that entitles him to defend himself with the public's dime. I am not an attorney by any stretch of the imagination, but is there's a link there, isn't there?
Well, look, we don't dispute that the governor's entitled to legal representation. Everybody's entitled to a lawyer. But that does not entitle him to put himself above the law and bypass all the procedures that everybody else in state government has to follow. I mean, under the precedent he's trying to establish here, he could sign contracts for tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars without any oversight or any approval by anybody. That is a very dangerous precedent. As far as we can determine, no governor has ever done what he has done here, again, which is sign a contract which he's the sole beneficiary without any approval or oversight by the attorney general, by the administrative board, by the legislature. That's a very dangerous precedent and something that we hope the judges of the Ingham Circuit Court will put a stop to.
I want to come back to you in just a minute, Mark Brewer, but I want to bring Carrie Weber back into this thing. Describe what life is like for you and your family here in Flint today. How directly impacted? How has it impacted your daily routine in Flint?
We are so completely reliant on bottled water for everything, cooking, drinking, everything. Add to that the fact that we average 1 to 2 appointments, medical appointments, and we are at that rate between today's date and November 15th. And this is not new. We had at one point, we had 43 doctor's appointments literally in 3 weeks.
What,
and Victoria.
You're saying 1 to 2 appointments daily?
Daily, yes.
How many people are in your family altogether?
4.
And there's your husband and two children then?
Yes. Yeah, and myself.
Mark Brewer, if your case goes forward, how hard do you expect it to be to convince a judge of what you're alleging here?
Well, this is a unique process. The Ingham County Circuit Court judges will now vote based on what the information we have provided as to whether to open up a grand jury investigation. If they do that, they'll appoint one of their members as the grand juror. And then grand jury proceedings are secret. That grand juror will be able to subpoena people up to and including the governor, get a hold of documents, and take a look at whether our allegations are true. And if they uncover any other wrongdoing in the course of the investigation, they can pursue that as well. At the end of that process, that judge will issue a report, either no indictments or indictments of whatever they've discovered. So that's the process as it plays out. We've done everything we can through our complaint to bring the facts, the law, to the judge's attention. And, you know, we just hope that they will impanel a grand jury here.
You're saying that all of the judges in the Ingham County Circuit Court will collaborate on this decision?
Yes, they'll all review, and they are reviewing, the complaint that we filed. It was quite extensive, lots of documents and legal arguments, and then they will vote whether to open up a grand jury proceeding.
How many judges is that?
Oh, boy. I think there's, I want to say, 8 to 10 judges on the Ingham Circuit Court. I don't have that precise number in front of me.
The governor's a wealthy guy. Is that a factor in the action you're taking?
No, no. But, again, it's just another irony here that this is somebody who could pay all these legal bills himself. But beyond that, he's had no trouble raising millions and millions of dollars over the last 8 years for his own campaign, for nonprofit and other entities that he controls. He could certainly raise the money to do this and not burden the taxpayers of Michigan or of Flint with these expenses.
Kerry Weber, Mark Brewer's articulated at length here why you're pursuing this case. I'd like to hear from you. How do you feel about launching this action?
Looking at the fact that here in Flint, we're paying for our poison water. In my husband's case, we're paying for his poisoning. And now with the very man in the center who has said, I take responsibility, repeatedly, we're paying for his defense. There is some place, truly, you have to draw the line in the sand and say enough.
We're talking with Kerry Weber, a Flint resident, and her attorney, Mark Brewer. They have filed an action involving Governor Snyder, saying that he has broken the law by paying his legal fees with public revenue and did not follow the appropriate processes to secure that revenue. Mark Brewer, do you have any idea what judge would be appointed? Would one of the Ingham Circuit judges be appointed as the one-person grand jury?
Yes, that would be the procedure here, yes.
Okay. When do you expect to know more about that?
Well, we're hopeful that the court will make a decision soon, but obviously we want them to, you know, carefully consider what we've filed. So we'll just have to see. But we want a considered decision, and I'm sure they'll give us one rather than a quick one.
You're not accepting any money from the Weber family, is that correct?
That's correct. I'm not being paid by them to do this. Frankly, I'm humbled to be able to help out in my small way. Kerry and her family, who are also acting on behalf of, frankly, all the citizens of Flint. This is a terrible, ongoing tragedy, and in this small way, we hope to hold the governor accountable.
We want to thank our guests, attorney Mark Brewer and Flint resident Kerry Weber. They are involved in an action involving the Ingham County Circuit Court against Governor Snyder, claiming that he broke the law by paying his legal fees with public revenue. Mark Brewer, Kerry Weber, thank you.
Thank you
so much.